Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, somebody say rest, please. Rest. God would not speak later about any other day. So then, a Sabbath rest, somebody say rest, rest, still remains for the people of God. For those who enter God's rest, please say rest, rest, also cease from their labors as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. Say rest again, please. Rest. So that no one may fall through such disobedience as theirs. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one may fall through such disobedience as theirs. Still on a 20-minute schedule. And I'm serious, I'd like you to pray for my right knee as not being as agreeable as the left knee in this recovery. It continues to swell and cause pain. So I'm trying to stay within a 20-minute time frame. I'd like to preach for a few moments, a need to rest. A need to rest. Repeat after me, please. Possibilities are fertile. If you rest right. A need to rest. During the 7th week healing from bilateral knee replacement, and this is the 3rd installment of personal experiences that I've learned during this healing journey. During the 7th week, I've discovered what is most important and essential for this process is my healing is my rest. When I complete personal exercise or professional therapy, the first thing I do is I go home, I sit on the sofa in the living room and be real still. I'm still until the pain that disturbs and disrupts me at my very core dissipates. Anybody who's experienced some traumatic pain, you know, sometimes you don't even want to move. You just sit there. This pain that originates in my knees permeates my physical and my emotional being, caused me to be restless and irritable and agitated. The only way I have learned to shift the feeling from being irritable is to rest. What I'm talking about here has nothing to do with sleeping. I'm talking about resting. And there is a difference. You see, to sleep is the body's cycle where the eyes are closed and the muscles are relaxed and the nervous system is basically inactive. I got 2 doctors in the house and they can affirm or let me know if I'm out of line. And if a person is not able to drift off to sleep, then we can take a sedative that will help us to sleep. Am I right? Sleep is important, but to sleep is different from rest. To have slept does not mean that you have rested. Sleep seems to be more about physical rest. It seems to be more about emotional and psychological emptying of stress and strain and struggle. Rest is an opportunity to restore and reinvigorate the core self from whatever is causing us imbalance. Now, when we go on vacation, we don't say, I'm going on vacation to sleep. We say, I'm going to get some rest. Am I right? And when I go on vacation, it takes me about 2 days to process out and decompress church work and church people and church stuff. It takes me 2 days. And after 2 days, I can rest really well. But rest, I'm trying to drive home the point that rest and sleep are different. Now, to shift this conversation from the natural to the spiritual, as quiet as it's kept for us believers, there is a need for spiritual rest. There are Christians who, because of lifestyle and personal struggles, their soul is not able to rest. Did you hear what I said? There are Christians who struggle with a restless spirit. Why? Because there is a struggle between following the will of God and living the way that they want to. It creates a restless spirit. A restless spirit is provoked in us when our human nature and our divine nature are at conflict, are at odds, causing our mind to become restless. What God says to do and what we want to do, we are in a battle about what we will do. Now why did I just cuss that person out? That ain't right. Why don't I share what I have with others? Why do I seem to be selfish? That ain't right. Why am I not trusting God the way I make people think I trust God? That ain't right. At odds and conflict, causing unrest deep down in our soul. Family, whenever selfish desires come into conflict with your spiritual values, I guarantee your mind and your heart will become restless. And restless is the cousin to confusion. And confusion is the inevitable, unavoidable result when the way of the world is substituted for the purpose of God. Now, I'm going to help somebody feel better today, because people in the Bible have been restless and wrestling with their spirit and their nature and God's nature. Apostle Paul struggled with a restless spirit when he said, what I don't understand about myself is that I decide one way, but then I act another. Doing things I absolutely despise. So if I can't be trusted to figure out what is best for myself and I do it, it is because it becomes obvious that God's command is necessary. Paul was saying, if I can't figure out how to do right, I ought at least follow God's way. Huh? Jesus, y'all know him, don't you? Let me try that again. Jesus, y'all know him, don't you?
Yeah.
Whew, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Jesus warns his disciples, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. What are you trying to say, Pastor King? Well, I'm saying that personal defiance, disobedience, and disregard keeps a believer from entering into a joyful and full and restful relationship with God. Did you hear what I said? You see how text encourages us. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. I know you said it five times, but can you help me again and say rest?
Rest.
This time say that rest.
That rest,
so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. Keep at it and eventually arrive at the place of rest, not dropping out through some sort of disobedience. I could just say that the Christian journey is difficult and it's a struggle, and we need to count on God and we can have a benediction and go home. But there's more in this text. The text raises a point for insight that I don't want us to miss. Check this, that the writer in our text makes a point that rest, there's something about that rest that the writer is trying to get us to see. And whenever we see the word therefore in the scripture, we must go back and read before the passage that we were reading to find out what the therefore is there for. You follow me? The word rest in the Greek means to refresh, restore, renew. And anytime we see the prefix re, R-E, it means to reestablish a thing the way that it was before. Go back to the beginning. Stay with me. The Sabbath day was the day God rested from the finished work of creation. What the writer means by this illustration is that the Sabbath was not a time for sleeping, but a time for fellowshipping. God's fellowship with God's creation on the Sabbath. And in our Sabbath, it's not so much about Sunday worship, but intentional worship and fellowship with God. Follow me? For the children of Israel, the promised land represented God's rest, the place to be with and to be in the presence of God. But only Caleb and Joshua, y'all remember them, right? The original Exodus crew who sojourned out of Egypt actually experienced the promised land. Uh-huh. And this happened because they did not go without trusting and resting in their faith with God. Y'all still with me? All right. The writer of Hebrews warns us expect a restless life when there is no authentic relationship with God. Expect restlessness, a restless life, a conflicting life, a confusing life when there is no authentic relationship with God. Expect conflict when you are not committed to Christ. Just talking about believers this morning. Our text encourages us not to risk living a restless and overwhelmed existence when we don't have to. The Israelites eventually entered the promised land, but that was not enough. Why? Because the Israelites enjoyed the promise, but lacked faith that caused them to miss out on a relationship with the promise keeper. Y'all know how we do. We love to see what's in God's hand instead of looking to God's face. We like what God gives us, and like God is a sugar daddy. And after God gives it, we say, "Thank you, Father," and just go on our way. Family, to come to church is not enough. To sing in the choir is not enough. To serve as a doorkeeper is not enough. To cook in the kitchen is not enough. To count money is not enough. To praise from the pews is not enough. To preach from the pulpit is not enough. And it means nothing unless we have a changed heart. Somebody say changed heart, please. Family, to read scripture means nothing unless it changes the heart. You cannot make a difference in the life of others without a changed heart. You cannot be in an authentic relationship with yourself, with others, or God unless you have a changed heart. Your mind and your heart, your spirit will be restless if you do not have a heart. If your head is in conflict, you can't make up your mind. It's because your heart ain't right. And that will make you restless. That's my message to you. To find rest for your soul. You must change your heart and be still. To be still. Be still. And know that I am God, the word says. It says, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me to be still. You know what that means? It means to focus. To be still, you have to focus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You have to focus. To be still is to seek God and God alone. We must be focused on him. The psalmist said, I look unto the hills. I stay focused upward from where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord who created heaven and earth. Be still means to focus. And when we focus, God has an opportunity to do some renewing work, to create in us a right spirit and a clean heart. If you are in need of a clear conscience, ask the Lord to change your heart. If you are in need of to end conflict that's all around you, ask God to change your heart. If you need a way out of something that you're in, ask God to change your heart. If your emotions are running and you're agitated, ask the Lord to help you to be still and change my heart. The writer said, even though all of those great things happened years ago, and for us, centuries ago, what God did for the Israelites and for others, today, Jesus offers the same thing. And Jesus says, come unto me all that are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take your yoke, my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for my way is easy and my burden is light. The Lord says, come unto me by yourself to be quiet and get some rest. The Lord says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. The Lord understands our struggle and says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. The Lord says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Wait on the Lord, rest in the Lord, and be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Do I have a witness? Jesus, keep me near the cross. There's a precious fountain free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, across the congregation. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever. Tell my raptured soul shall find rest. Come on, one more time. It's in the cross that we find our rest. It's in the cross that God restores us. It's in the cross that we find strength. My rapture soul shall find.
beyond the grave.
The doors of the church are open. If you're in need of rest this morning, and you need someone other than yourself that will lead you there, you find that you haven't been able to make it on your own, I determined today, I encourage you to try God this morning. Today.